But today, we're taking our series pretty much to the culmination of the series, and we're going to start talking about how to do miracles and healings, how to get them started. So if you'd like a title for your message, here's the title. Times, they are a-changin', starting to do the works. So here's the thing, right? Now you've bought in. You believe it. You believe that healings are for today. You believe that miracles are for today. You believe that God is on the throne, and that God not only is on the throne, but God wants to use you. God wants to use me to pour healings and miracles through to the world around us. So now what? Now what do I do? How do I begin? I believe it, but now how do I get started? Let me tell you how you get started. You get started in this just like you get started with anything else in life. In fact, it's the same way that you start to quit. You know, my grandpa, God bless his soul, smoked for many, many years. And I saw him start and stop smoking many times. But every time that he made a change, you know what he did? How he started? He started with a decision. So I want to challenge you today to make a decision. You're going to make a firm decision. See, when you start a journey, you have to start with a decision. That decision is, I'm going to do something. Here's the things that I want you to choose and make a decision about today, right here and right now. You might even say it out of your mouth if you want to. Here's the first one. Decide to be a doer of the Word of God. Decide to be a doer of the Word of God. By the way, before I go on further, if you would like to take notes, we encourage you to take notes. Our notes are available on our current app. You can fill it out right there in the app, or you can go to our website at www.thearcc.com, and you can find the messages area there, and you can actually download a PDF of the notes if you'd like to take them. And there's some discussion questions to help to facilitate your digestion and your synthesis of all the stuff that you're going to hear today. I encourage you to take notes. But before you do that, I encourage you to make a decision. Become a doer of the Word of God. Don't be a hearer only, be a doer. Here's the next one. Make the Word of God and the Spirit of God your Lord. What does that mean? You make it your boss. You make it tell you what to do. It's no longer a suggestion. It's no longer open for debate. It's no longer subject to the things that are going around, whether it's cultural, whether it's this, whether it's that. It's not dependent upon anything. The Word of God is sure and steadfast. Make it your Lord and do it. Here's the next one. Do whatever the Word says. Do it in obedience and in submission. So whatever the Word says to do, do. And do it in obedience and submission. If you can get to the point where you don't do it grudgingly or of necessity, God loves a cheerful giver. That means He loves when we do it with a happy heart. Those of you that have kids out there, think about it for just a moment, right? We're the children of God. Do you prefer it when your children give you a hard time about doing what it is that you're asking them to do, perhaps even for their own benefit? I was that kid that gave my parents a hard time all the time about doing my homework. It was for my benefit so that I could have some intellectual substance when I went to college and as I do stuff like this. But I gave them a hard time. I gave them... All the gray hairs are probably from me because my sister did her homework without even, you know, she was in straight A's and honors and AP, and I was like hanging on. I was trying to play sports. That's what I was trying to do. But you know what? If your kids do things in honor and submission with a happy, cheerful heart, when you ask them to do their dishes and the dishes, and they're like, I'd love to do the dishes. Thanks for letting me participate in our household. You're like, what kind of child do you have? I have a blessed child, blessed of the Lord, full of the Holy Ghost, and submitted to me in Jesus' name, right? How about this one? I hope that you make a determination and a decision to become what the Word of God says you're created to be. Just say, whatever the Word of God says that I'm supposed to be, I'm going to be. I'm going to change to be like that. I might not be like that now, but I'm going to be like that. I'm going to change to be like that in Jesus' name. Make a decision. Yep. I want to give you a few scriptures here because all faith comes from Scripture. So let me give you a few scriptures about doing. In John chapter 14, verse 12, in the New King James Version of the Bible, it says this, most assuredly, that means very certainly, like our governor likes to say, certainly and clearly. Certainly and clearly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these, he will do, because I go to my Father. See, when we believe, we'll do. Amen? Yeah. James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25 says this, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. I want to stop right there for a moment. Christian, I'm going to challenge you to be a doer of the word. So many people come to church every Sunday. Maybe they listen to sermons every single week. Maybe they listen to sermons from all their favorite preachers because, man, they sure do talk nice, and I sure do like the way they sound, and I like feeling encouraged, but then they don't do anything with that word. I want to challenge you to be a doer. See, because when you hear it and you know it, you're responsible for it. And the more responsibility that we have that we let fall through the cracks, the more that we're responsible for what we knew but did not do. We're being a poor steward of that word. I challenge you today, do not be a hearer only, but be a doer of the word. In fact, maybe know a little bit less and do a little bit more. Just hear it and do it. Hear it and do it. A constant progression of life. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Listen, here's why. Deceiving yourselves. Because just because you know it doesn't mean you're doing it. Just because you know it doesn't mean you are it. It's important to know. See, the best football players in the NFL are not actually on the field. They're actually not recruited or paid very large money from the teams at all. They are overweight, sitting in the highest seats in the stadium, telling the coach everything that he should have done and telling the quarterback the throw that they should have made because they know it all. But you see, there's a difference between knowing it and doing it, isn't there? Amen. You deceive your own self. Man, I'm so good at football. Right, let's have you get out there with them big boys and let them smash you around a little bit, and we'll find out how good you really are. Yeah. You might know it, but don't be a hearer only. Be a doer of the word. I want to just throw this in there. This is not in my notes, but somebody out there, you've got to hear this. The Holy Spirit just spoke it to my heart. Sometimes the reason why some of y'all are just so judgmental about all these other Christians and how they're doing it and what they're doing. Listen, I want to say this in the nicest way possible. Maybe until you start doing something, you should be quiet. Amen. See, when other people are doing stuff and you're not, it's a shame to you, I believe, to just judge what other people are doing or pick out their mistakes or that they didn't do it perfectly. Look, hop in the fire with me. I invite you to come and walk with me. I invite you to walk in my shoes. I invite you to watch me do things imperfectly. But you know what? At least I'm going to do something. And the grace of God can make up the difference. And the mercy of God can come and fill the need. But when you do nothing, there's nothing for God to work with. You see, the Bible says that God will prosper the work of your hands. He'll multiply it. But anything times zero is undefined. Right. So undefined work is being done. Maybe a lot of mental gymnastics. Please, Christian, stop judging and start doing. Amen? Yeah. Deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he listens, what he does. Yeah. See, God wants to bless the works of your hands. But when we don't do anything, we deceive ourselves thinking that we're better than we are, thinking that we're more perfect than we are, thinking that we are more like Jesus than we are because we look and we forget who we were. Yeah. It's important that we remember, and the way that we remember who we are is by doing the will of God. Amen. Matthew 7:24 through 27 says this, Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat on that house, and it fell. Listen, and great was its fall. My friend, I told you I'm going to say some hard things today, but the truth will make you free. Amen. And I'm saying this with all the love in my heart. And if you know me, you know that I love people. I love the plan of God and the purpose of God for people. But if you do not hear the truth from me, I don't know where you're going to hear it. I'm going to tell you the truth. Amen. Here's the truth. So many people are wrecked in their Christianity. So many people's Christian lives crumble at a certain point because they are a hearer and not a doer of the word. You want your Christianity to survive. You want to be somebody that finishes the race. Here's how you do it. Become a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Hearing will only take you so far. And my friend, it is not enough, because great will be the fall of the building of your life unless you become a doer. I don't want your house to crumble. I want your house to survive. So please become a doer of your word, of the word. I want to tell you this, that you should determine in your heart that regardless of the immediate short-term results you might experience, you're going to be a doer of the word. Amen. Every one of us probably knows somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody on social media who once prayed for somebody and they didn't get healed. Look, regardless of that, God is true and everything else is a lie. I want to tell you that no matter what your short-term results might be, I think my dad, when he first started learning about healings and miracles and stuff, I think everyone that he prayed for that was like on their deathbed died. Like quickly, like he almost felt like he accelerated their death in some way. You know, the devil will want you to think that you're not only ineffective, but that you're making it worse. You cannot judge God by your circumstance. Oh, you better write that down because it's not in the notes. You cannot judge God by your circumstance. You cannot judge God by the outcome. You got to judge God by his word. His word will never fail. This is so important, my friend. You got to get this into your heart. By the way, how-tos don't matter. If you're wondering if I'm going to give you a bunch of how-tos, I'm not going to. I'm going to talk to us about our heart today and how we get started in our heart and desire and motive to begin to go out and do the will of God. See, because how-tos don't matter if you ain't going to do nothing anyway. You can know all the forms and all the points and all the this and all the that, but unless you're going to do something, it doesn't matter anyway. One of the best ways where people get hungry and thirsty to learn and to absorb information and how-tos is by going out and either failing or finding that they need more information than they have in order to make a positive difference. It makes us hungry to learn. Some of us, we're like fat little chickens. We're like fat little birds sitting in church squawking, like, hurry up and feed me, come on, regurgitate the word of God to me. I want to just eat whatever it is. No, I mean, I'm done eating regurgitation. Amen. I want to eat a steak. And Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him who sent me. Sorry if you're a vegan, but Jesus talked about meat. So I'm just repeating his words. God said, let there be meat in my house. So let there be meat in my house. Maybe infrequently, maybe not so much red meat, but let there be meat in my house in the name of Jesus. I want you to remember this. Remember this. If your experience disagrees with the word of God, your experience was wrong. The word of God is never wrong. If your experience disagrees with the word of God, your experience was wrong. I want to challenge you right now to not have your experience dictate whether or not you believe the word of God. Don't believe your experience. Yeah. Believe the word of God. you're like, Pastor Jake, you're just a little bit too spiritual for me. I'm telling you, if you don't get that into your heart, you will always judge God's word by the circumstance and you'll be wrong. See, because if Joseph judged God by the circumstance, he never would have got out of prison. If Joseph would have judged God by the circumstance, he never would have been promoted. If Joseph had judged God by his experience, he would have given up and probably committed suicide in jail. But you know what? His circumstance didn't determine his outcome. God determined his outcome. And Joseph said simply this. He said, I see that God has sent me here to preserve life and not to take it. You see, when you submit yourself to God's plan, whatever valleys you go through, whatever low points you go to, it's just part of the process, and you'll get there to the glorious destination that God is calling you to. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
If your experience disagrees with the word of God, your experience was wrong, not the word of God. You know, following the example of Jesus Christ is always a great formula for Christian success. In fact, we are called followers of Jesus Christ. We are called Christians, little Christ. We're meant to be a living, breathing example, a replica, exact in every detail to who Jesus was on this earth. So I challenge you today that we would follow the example of Jesus. I want to give you 4 points today about what Jesus did and how Jesus started his healing and miracle ministry. Now, these are not going to be how-tos. These are going to be more like concepts that we've got to buy into to Jesus's life and ministry and how to get started. Here we go. This is the first thing that Jesus did. When he was young, the Bible says that Jesus was about the Father's business before he was ever anointed for miracles. My friend, you and I, we got to be about the Father's business. I mean, we got to be about it. We got to be about what he wants us to be doing. See, Jesus wasn't, like I told you a number of weeks ago, Jesus wasn't walking on his bathwater. He wasn't splitting his bathwater. He wasn't raising dead birds and dead geckos in the street when he was little. He wasn't, you know, disappearing and reappearing. He wasn't being transfigured when it was time for him to have a diaper change. None of that stuff. He was a kid. And he was being raised by his parents. He was a man anointed by the Holy Spirit, just like you and me. A person, a human being anointed by the Holy Spirit of the living God. But before he was ever anointed for miracles and healings, before he ever did one miraculous thing, he was about his Father's business. In Luke chapter 2:49, it says this, and he, talking about Jesus, said to them, his parents, why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Literally, this phrase, about my Father's business, means this. It means I must attend to the things that are my Father's or of my Father's house. My friend, if you are not attending to the business which is of your Father, if you're not attending to the business which is of your Father's house, then what business are you attending to? I'll tell you what, I run into people all the time, and I'm so sometimes tempted to go in this direction myself, that I gotta take care of my business. I gotta do my business. But we don't need to be about our business. We need to be about the Father's business. You see, if the Father's business is in our heart, something is going to change in our world. Literally, I must attend to the things that are my Father's. By the way, you happen to be your Father's because he bought you with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And you've got to be about the purpose and the plan and the destiny of God for your life. You have a destiny whether you know it or not. Listen, before Jesus ever prayed this in the garden, before he ever prayed, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done, it was his lifestyle. Please don't think that he just came up with that in the heat of the moment in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was about to be crucified. I mean, if there's anything that's going to come out of you in a stressful moment like that, it's the thing that comes out when you're squeezed. And the only thing that comes out when you're squeezed is what's really on the inside. It's not what you would want to do. You've heard it said before probably that you will resort to your level of lowest training. when something goes awry and it goes crazy and it goes bonkers, you will come down to the level of your lowest level of training. All the stuff that you tried to do highfalutin and making it look all pretty and wonderful and all of that goes out the window when something bad happens, when stressful situations come. And some of you may be experiencing that right now, that in this time and in this season, that all the fancy, frilly stuff that you tried to make yourself look good on the outside. See, I don't care what kind of makeup you wear to the beach. I don't care what kind of makeup you wear when you go and work out. You sweat hard enough, you get enough sweat and enough work going, all that stuff gonna come off and people gonna know what's on the underside of that. Beauty is only skin deep, my friend, and some people's skin is pretty thin. Before Jesus ever said that, it was a lifestyle. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I want to encourage you to make this a lifestyle, that you would do the will of the Father. Jesus's was a lifestyle of exalting God's plans, God's priorities, and God's purposes above his own aspirations. You know, that's the only reason why that came out at the garden, because it wasn't about what he wanted, because he said what he wanted. He said, God, if this cup can pass from me, then let it pass. That's what he wanted. He didn't want to go to the cross. He didn't want to be beaten. He didn't want his beard ripped from his face. He didn't want a crown of thorns jammed into his head. He didn't want spikes driven through his arms and through his feet. He didn't want that, but he made it a lifestyle to exalt God's plans, purposes, and priorities above his own aspirations. Man, that's so important. I hope that you can get that into your heart today. Make God's things the priority in your life. By the way, we'll also find our purpose and our greatest success in doing God's will. You know, doing things for yourself, for good old number one and whatever, I think good old number one needs to become good old number two. I think that good old number one needs to not be on the throne anymore, but God needs to be on the throne. That God needs to be, that there should be no other gods before him. That includes this God. Because some of us, we look at ourselves that way. In fact, I dare say that every one of us looks at ourselves that way. We are our own God in our life until we put God on the throne of our lives, until we put Jesus in the highest place. And that doesn't happen by accident. It's a purposeful stepping down of ourselves as God and Lord of our lives and putting him on the highest place. Can you say amen to that? I want to tell you beyond the shadow of a doubt that when you do this, you will not need to seek your own success or promotion, but God will look out to take care of that as we do his will. If you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, God will exalt you in due season. So maybe you haven't been exalted yet. Maybe it's just not your season yet. Just like there's seasons for different fruits and stuff, maybe it's not your season yet. But I got good news for you, my friend. Your season is coming. Your season is coming. Just don't give up and don't pick green fruit. Let it sweeten up on the tree. Here's the second thing that Jesus did. I got to go faster than I'm going. There's just so much that I want to get across to you today. Jesus was a student of the Word of God. I know people who read the Word of God. I know people who dabble in the Word of God. I know some people who use the Word of God deceitfully, like for their own purposes. I know people who argue the Word of God. I know people that do all kinds of things with the Word of God. But Jesus was a student of the Word of God. In Luke chapter 2, verses 46 and 47, it says this. It says, "Now so it was that after 3 days, they found him." What kind of parents were Joseph and Mary? They lost the Messiah for 3 days. They lost him, the Savior of the world, for 3 days. Hey, I never even lost my kids once. My wife locked our child in the car twice, but I didn't do any of that stuff. The Lord have mercy upon her soul. But you know what? Jesus was gone for 3 days. 3 days. And they finally found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listen, both listening to them and asking them questions. He wasn't just pontificating. He wasn't just talking. He wasn't just sermonizing. He was listening to the teachers, learning. Verse 47, "And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers." You know, The way that we get understanding and the way that we get answers is by learning. Yeah. It's by becoming a student. Somebody once said, that's why we have one mouth and two ears, so we can listen twice as much as we talk. Well, Pastor Jake, you're talking an awful lot. Yes, I am, but I listen a lot during the week. You know, this is how Jesus, by the way, found out that he was the child of God, that he was the Messiah. That's how he found it out. He didn't have a rhema from heaven, like an angel didn't show up and tell him that he was the Messiah. He didn't have anything like that. The Word of God, the Old Testament, in fact, the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, showed him enough of who he was to figure out that he was a child of God. Man, you've got to study the Word of God. If you don't read the Old Testament, my friend, you are missing out, because the whole thing is the Bible. Just the New Testament is not only the Bible. The whole thing is the Bible. The whole thing is the Word of God. And we've got to submit to it all. By the way, the New Testament is concealed in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament. They're both parts of the same thing. They are all God incarnate, written for us to understand him in so many ways. You can't just leave out the Old Testament. Jesus found out that he was the Messiah by reading that thing. I think you should read it. By the way, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 in the Amplified version of the Bible says this. Listen, study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed. I want to pause right there for a moment. There are some people out there that should be ashamed of the way that they preach the Word of God. Why? Because they haven't studied it. I was that guy sometimes, probably as a youth pastor. You just come up with something that sounds good. It tickles the ears. It's really exciting, but it has no real depth in Scripture. We should not have to be ashamed by the way that we preach the Word of God, because we correctly analyze it and accurately divide it, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the Word of truth. You know, the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. You know, you ever seen somebody that doesn't know how to use a sword, swing one around? It's a little bit scary. We should become skillful in the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, to rightly divide it and correctly teach it. Tested, tried, and true in every aspect of our lives. By the way, the Word of God instructs us and imparts us to have faith, to be obedient, to listen to its instructions. You'll find that in Romans 10:17, which is not in your notes. Knowing the Word of God is knowing Jesus himself. So when you become a student of the Word, you become a student of Jesus. When you learn the Word, you learn Jesus. When you learn about everything that's in the Word, you find out more and more about the character and the details and the love and the goodness and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ himself. You can find that stuff in John 1:1 and John 1:14 that I don't have on the screen today. See, when we know what the Word of God says, we'll be able to hear and know his voice. So many people tell me that they struggle with hearing the voice of God, that they don't know God's voice. They read signs instead. You know, it's like they go, Pastor Jake, I was thinking that I should give $60 in the offering. And you know, when I was driving on the H3 freeway coming over here to Kaneohe, you know what I saw? The speed limit was 60. So I knew that it was a confirmation that God wanted me to give 60 in the offering. But then when I came through the tunnels, I noticed that it was 45. And so I started questioning myself whether or not that was God, that he wanted to give me 60 or 45, or he wanted me to give 60 or 45. But then, you know, I drove a little bit further, and then there was one, the last sign before I exited the freeway was 55. And so I thought, oh yeah, maybe the high one was just me and the low one was the devil. So 55, that was it. And that's what I decided to give today, Pastor Jake. Dude, you're freaking me out a little bit. I don't even know how you come up with that stuff. Now, I know I'm joking around a little bit, but some people are like that. You know, if my goldfish jumps out of its bowl, does a triple backflip, and sings the Star Spangled Banner, then I'll know that it's God. People, we just need to read the Word, know the Word, and do the word. You don't need a sign. An evil and perverse generation seeks a sign. We just need the word. But too many people don't read the word. The only word they're going to get on is a word on Sunday. And you're already thinking, why does he have so many scriptures on the screen? We've got to become students of the word of God. John 10, 4 and 5 says this. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Too many Christians are more familiar with the voice of the world and the voice of the devil than they are with the voice of the Holy Spirit of the living God, because they don't spend time in the word. They spend much more time in the movies, in the mainstream media, in all those things, listening to the voice of the world and of the devil, when we should be listening to the voice of God. I want to challenge you that if you're feeling depressed, shut that stuff off and dig into the word of God. You'll find hope. And if you don't know where to find hope, you can very simply do what my dad has said for so many years. Read the first two chapters of Genesis, and also read the last two chapters of Revelation. And when you do that, you will live long and prosper. All you Trekkies out there are like, oh my God. Yes, my dad is a Trekkie. I think his favorite episode might be Trouble with Tribbles or whatever that was. You know, too many Christians are just unfamiliar with God's word. They pray and they don't hear an answer right away. So you know what they do? They just do what they want. Assuming very simply that God's not going to answer them. They pray, they ask, they wait, la, la, la. Maybe they even fast, you know, have a smoothie fast or whatever. And then they're like, oh, well, God's not going to answer me. He didn't answer me. Well, I guess I'll just do what I want then. My friend, that is not the right approach. That's not how you do this thing. What would happen if we get stubborn, so stubborn to hear God's voice that we don't do anything until we hear him? See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. What if everything that you did in faith? Oh, wait a minute. That's how we're supposed to do things. The Bible says anything that is not of faith is sin. So that means that if we just do things on our own, we're sinning because we don't have faith, because God didn't speak to us. How does God speak to us? One of the greatest ways that God speaks to us is through his word. I mean, what if we got so stubborn that we wouldn't do anything until we hear God's voice on the subject? And I mean the audible voice of God that speaks and confirms his word, or just by reading the Bible and saying, that's what God said. It's right there. On the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established, but don't do it before you find that word and faith hits your heart. I mean, after all, what's more important to you? Doing something, just anything, even if it's wrong, or doing what God wants you to do? That's a tough question. I know that you know what you're supposed to answer, but is that really the truth? Do we want to just do something, anything, because we just have to do something? Or can you be patient in the press? Can you be patient in the waiting? Can you hold on and say, I'm not going to move until faith hits my heart, and let God speak to you? Man, I'm running out of time. I might go a few minutes over today, and you know, whether you're going to stay or not, I'm going to finish preaching this message because it's important. I hope that you'll stay, and I hope that you'll finish this message with me. Point number three, this is how Jesus began his miracle working ministry. Jesus submitted himself to the anointing and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Look, if Jesus considered the Holy Spirit to be essential to his life and his ministry, who are we to think that we don't need the Holy Spirit? But Pastor Jake, I know of at least five people that have been prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit and didn't receive the Holy Spirit. Remember, their experience was wrong. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. That the Holy Spirit will be given to anyone who asks. So I don't know what went on and why their experience was wrong, but their experience was wrong. There is no one that is so special in all the world that they are not able to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. everyone is vulnerable to the gift of the Holy Spirit. Maybe they have a lack of knowledge. Maybe they have a lack of faith. Maybe they have both going on. I don't know, but I will tell you for sure and for certain that God's right. God's word is right. Their experience is wrong, and we need to trust the word, not their experience. Let's pray for them again and get them filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. Who are we to think that we don't need the Holy Spirit? It's not good enough, Christian, to live a principled life. It's not good enough, Christian, to live a character-filled life. It is not good enough to do that because we are meant to be an example like Jesus was. And we're meant to walk in his footsteps with miracles, signs, wonders, and healings. And he commanded us to do some things, right? We need the Holy Spirit for that. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. It says this, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper," talking about the Holy Spirit, "that he may abide with you forever." So anyone that told you that the Holy Spirit is not on the earth today, I don't know what they did with this scripture, but it's in there. He abides with you forever. Not just loosely, not just atmospherically, but tangibly in the presence and the tangible anointing of the Holy Spirit of the living God. He'll live with you forever. "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." See, not just around you. An atmosphere of the Holy Spirit and of faith is not just dependent upon the proportion of fog that you have in the room. It doesn't matter how many flashy lights you've got in the room. That is not the indicator of the presence of the Holy Spirit, unless it's the Shekinah glory of God that comes and fills the temple and no one can stand to minister. Otherwise, it's just fog juice. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's more than a goosebump. He's more than a tingle. He is the Spirit of the living God. John chapter 15, verse 26, it says this, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send you from my Father," by the way, Jesus is sending the Holy Spirit, "the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." Why do you need the Holy Spirit? So you can testify of Jesus. I think that's what our job is in all the world, to give testimony of Jesus Christ. John 16:7 says this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." See, Jesus is not walking around anymore down here. He's seated on the right hand of the Father. So that means if Jesus said he'd send a helper, he sent the Helper. And the Helper is here forever. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm about to give you some scriptures that you don't like very much. In fact, media team, we're going to skip over the next scripture just because I'm running out of time. But the Bible tells us this, that when Jesus was baptized of the Holy Spirit, that he was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. We don't like that scripture, because the Holy Spirit is only supposed to lead us to carousels and Candyland and unicorns and floating clouds. No. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." You know where, if we're going to follow Jesus, you know where Jesus went? To the top of Calvary to die. And he said, unless we take up our cross and follow him, where do you think he's going? Tamura's? Like, he's not. That's a grocery store. He's not going to the grocery store with his cross. He's going to Calvary to die. He wants us to die on the cross with him so that his life can live in us. My friend, let's quit sissifying the Holy Spirit of the living God. Let's quit minimizing his impact and his influence in the world. That's why Christianity has been so weak and so powerless for so many years, because we keep minimizing the Helper that Jesus said he would send so that we could do greater works than him. I know it's kind of silent in this Methodist church. I'm hitting a little bit close to home, aren't I? Close is good enough for me with horseshoes and hand grenades. I will throw a Holy Ghost hand grenade in your direction and blow you to smithereens by the Holy Ghost, because we need to get this in our hearts. Listen, Romans 8:14 says this, and I know it's an ouch. It says this, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Yep. Hold on. You mean if I don't allow myself to be led by the Spirit of God, you notice it doesn't say dragged with much fighting. You notice that it doesn't say that we are just being transported, but we're being led. That means we have to follow. Yep. That if I don't follow the Spirit of God, then I'm not a son of God. I didn't say it. The Bible said it. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. If we are not being led, we are not a son of God. Now, I know that there's a criteria for that. Sonship has to do with maturity. Sonship has to do with being able to take over my Father's business. So you might be a child of God, a baby of God, whatever, but unless we're being led, we are not a full-blown child of God. I'm not saying that you're not born again or whatever, although that may be the case. I want to challenge you today that we must be followers of the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. You know, John 2:27 says this, but the anointing which you have received from him, talking about Jesus, lives or abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but the same anointing teaches you concerning all things. And it is true, and it is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Amen. So this is what I want to tell you today. You don't need to be taught by me how to do miracles and healings and all that. You just have to start, and the Holy Spirit will teach you how to work it. You notice that Jesus didn't have a mentor in miracles. Well, you know, Jesus out there like, hey, I got to find me a mentor. I got to find me my Tony Robbins. I got to find somebody who's going to teach me how to do miracles. Okay, so now what you do is you take equal parts of finely sifted, clean, purified, irradiated soil, purified by UV light, and equal parts spittle after you've brushed your teeth and cleaned thoroughly. Then you mix them with a silver spoon in a chalice, and then you apply the mud in the form of a cross upon the eyes of the blind, and they will be open. No, none of that. Jesus spat on people. Jesus, you know, ripped people out of their thing. He told them, stand and walk. He ruined funerals. I mean, he was instructed by the Holy Spirit on how to do it. But it doesn't even matter. If we're not willing and if we're not a doer, it doesn't matter what we're told, because we're not going to do it anyway. It's important that we become a doer and we're led by the Holy Spirit. Please don't take this scripture out of context to think that it means you don't need to go to church and that you don't need to have people that would teach you in your life and impart the word of God to you. Don't think it means that you get to live rogue on your own. I have no need that any man teach me, but the Holy Spirit will teach me. Yeah, but you're not submitted to the Holy Ghost. That's the problem. See, there's a form, there is a structure, and the Bible says, do not forsake the gathering of yourselves together. So that's a commandment from God too. That's, you should be led to church. You should be led to a congregation of the believers. You should be led into that place of fellowship, not out from fellowship. That is not Jesus to lead you out from fellowship. You won't need to be taught how to have healings or miracles. No one showed Jesus, but the Holy Spirit will teach us and lead us. Now, I know that we normally end at noon, but we're going to go a few minutes over because this is my last point here. And I've got to get this across to you so that we can move on, because I want you to move on to greater things. I want you to move on to miracles, move on to healings, move on to be a doer of the word of God and not a hearer only. Let's stop being fat little baby birds and let's be ripped Christians. Amen. Amen. Here's what happened next. After Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit and was a student of the word and was all those things, after he made a decision, all those things that we should do already, this is what Jesus did. You know what Jesus did? Jesus did. Yep. That's what we got to do. We got to follow his example and do. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7 says this, "Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God." See, Jesus' whole purpose on this earth was to do the will of God. My friend, you and I are no different in that our job is to do the will of God, not to create an inheritance for ourselves, not to create a name for ourselves, not to create an empire, not to go to the moon, whatever, unless that's the will of God for your life. Our job is to do the will of God, whatever it might look like. Well, I don't like the will of God for my life. I like the will of God for their life. Yeah, but that's not the will of God for your life. Remember, if you want peace and joy and righteousness and success and happiness in your life, do the will of God for your life. Look, God is going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Not well thought, not well imagined, not well played. He's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Look, anything that is written in God's word is fair game for you to act upon. Now, this ought to make you super excited, because if I see it, I can be it. If I can see it, I can do it. That means that raising the dead, fair game. Cleansing the lepers, fair game. Broken arms or withered arms growing back, fair game. People that are paralyzed in their body, fair game. People that have had chronic disease from the time that they were born, fair game. Deaf ears, blind eyes, people that were broken in their body, demon possessed, I mean, translated from here to there, walking on water, fair game. See, if you're bored with your Christianity, you got the wrong brand of Christianity. You got the fake stuff. You got to get the real stuff, which is Jesus Christ and his acts upon this earth. Everything that he did is fair game. And then he went on to just say, by the way, there's bonus material that I didn't even show you, because you're going to do greater things than what I did. 1 John 3:8 says this, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Man, I just like that particular phrase, to destroy the works of the devil. Not skirt around, not dance with him, not spar with him. I came to destroy the works of the devil. It reminds me of my good friend David, who wants to have a Conan sword, fuzzy boots, and a fuzzy underwear, and just stand there, you know? And you want to start taking heads off of demons. I mean, you get to destroy the works of the devil. See, this is the stuff that we got to love. So many Christian churches have become so sissified. They got flowers and rainbows and everything all over the place, and everything was decorated by a girl, which is cool, but we got to take some heads. We have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. There is a masculine gospel that is meant for us to destroy the works of the devil, not give him a facelift. We need to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. This goes for guys and gals too. So if you're aggressive, you ought to love that passage. Mark 16, 17 and 18 says this, "And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." All of that, fair game. How about this one? Matthew 10, 7 and 8. "And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give." So look, you can preach, you can heal, you can cleanse, you can raise, you can cast out, and you can give. All of that stuff is fair game for Christians who follow the Holy Spirit. Amen. Here are the final phrases that I want to give you today. This is what you do. When you go out today, and when you go out for the rest of your life on a day-to-day basis, become a machine of doing God's word. And this is what we do. If you see someone sick, lay hands on them. Well, what if they don't get healed? What if they do? What if I pray for 100 people and 100 of them don't get healed? What if you pray for 100 people and one of them gets healed? What if you pray for 100 people and 100 of them get healed? We can play the what if game all day long. Just be a doer of the word. The rest is up to God. Let him handle the results. You do the obedience. Lay hands on the sick. Here's the next one. If you see someone demon-possessed, cast the devil out of them. Don't run from them. Run towards them. I'm like, I'm going to get you, devil. One of my good friends says that he would sooner charge hell with a dry water hose than run away from the devil. You don't need to run away from the devil. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you see a leper, cleanse them. Oh, we don't have leprosy in the United States. We'll go somewhere else and find one and get a leper cleansed. Right? If you find a dead person that died prematurely, command them to live. I mean, you don't know which one is going to get up. Maybe they were supposed to be dead, but I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell me to sort out who's supposed to live and who's supposed to die. If they died before 120 years old, try to raise them from the dead. Lay your hands on them and command life to come back into their body. Yeah. You're crazy, Pastor Jake. Remember, I'm not out of my mind. I'm out of your mind. Here's the next one. If you see anything that the devil is stealing, killing, or destroying, destroy that. The thing that's stealing, the thing that's killing, the things that's destroying. I mean, maybe it's diabetes. Maybe it's heart disease. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's a toxic relationship. Destroy it because it's the work of the devil trying to destroy your life. Don't let him destroy the works of the devil. Here's the next one. Speak with new tongues. Well, I don't know how to do that, Pastor Jake. That's why you need to be led by the Holy Spirit. I can't teach you how to speak in tongues that you don't have, but the Holy Spirit can. He gives you the words to speak, and he gives you the utterance if you'll yield to the Holy Spirit of the living God. Yep. I'm finished. Here's my last, just one thing. My jot for today, just one thing. Man, I don't know about you, but I feel full of the word. Just one thing. If we are not willing to do these basic things, we will not see the power of God in operation in our lives. You want to see the power of God in operation in your life? Become a doer. That's just, and don't care about the results. Just be a doer. Be careful of obedience. Care to obey. Care to follow God. Be a student of the word of God. Love his word. Follow him with everything that's in you. Put him on the highest place. Let him be Lord. And then become a doer of the word. And the power of God will come into operation in your lives. By the way, I love this statement. It's actually the title of a book. But this person who was a youth pastor for many, many years, she gave this great title for a book. And I want to challenge you with this title. Stop acting like a Christian and just be one. Let's stop having the perfect straight elbow worship. Let's stop wearing the perfect outfits to church. I mean, don't stop doing that. Like, do that. But don't just be perfect on the outside. Let's be perfect on the inside. The Bible says that David's heart was perfect before the Lord. I want my heart, my desires, my will, my motives, my motivation, my desires, everything to be perfect before the Lord. And if I can do that, I believe that God's power is going to flow through me in ways that are unimaginable to the natural mind. I'm done living with this earth. I'm living in the kingdom of heaven. And I choose to go out and to preach the kingdom of heaven that is here, right here, and right now. What a blessing to be able to bring healing, to be able to bring freedom, to be able to bring miracles, to be able to bring hope to people who are hopeless. Remember, you're never hopeless if you've got access to miracles. Today, if you're not a believer yet, if you just joined us or whatever, and if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to invite you very quickly to make him the Lord of your life. See, all of the things that I talked about today in miracles and healings and signs and wonders and all the peace and the joy and the righteousness and all these things that are available, they're not available until Jesus is the Lord of your life and the Lord of my life. I want to give you a key to the kingdom. I want to give you access to the greatness of God. How do you do that? By being born again into the family of God. The Bible says to be born again into God's family, born out of the earth thing and into the kingdom of heaven and become a child of God. This is what you have to do. You have to believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Probably that means you have to believe that Jesus died on your behalf and paid the price for your sins. Next, you have to confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord of your life, not just over the world, but of your life. And when you give him control and let him be the boss of your life, the Bible says now you are saved, rescued, redeemed, set apart, sanctified. The destiny, the plan, the purpose of God for your life starts in that very moment. I want to invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life and to become a part of God's family right here and right now. I'm going to invite you to pray. I'm going to pray out loud, and I'm going to invite you to pray out loud, at least loud enough that you can hear your own voice so that you know that you actually did the praying. And when you pray out loud, it's not praying to me because I can't hear you, but it is praying to God who does hear you. It's doing business with him and knowing that your heart, that you're giving it to him. I want to invite every one of you to pray with me today. And if you're doing business with God today, he knows that he's doing business with you. And by the end of this short prayer, you'll be saved. It's not a magical prayer. It's just doing business in your heart with God. Let's pray. Would you just repeat after me today? Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name, knowing that I've sinned. I've fallen short of your standard. But I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe that you raised him on the third day. And I declare with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I give him control over my life to lead me, to guide me, to direct me, to change me, and to make me. Jesus, you are the Lord of my life, and I'm going to follow you. Because of these things, I know that I'm now saved. I'm born again into the family of God, and I am a child of God. Let healings and miracles begin. Thank you for saving me. I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Look, if you prayed that prayer with us today, I want to thank you for, number one, for joining us in this time and for hanging on for a few extra minutes as I got through all of that material. Man, I hope that it encourages you and gets you started. Lay hands on everything that moves and see if God will move on your behalf, because he will. I mean, I've laid hands on my truck. I've laid hands on dogs. I've seen dogs get healed. I mean, yes, I know you think that I'm crazy, but I have proof. I have witnesses. And I've seen many things. I've seen broken bones healed. And I've seen people that had all kinds of diseases, including AIDS, be healed right under my hands. I've seen people have pacemakers in their body that God absolutely removed miraculously, and it was no longer there to be felt. I've seen it. I've been there, and I want more. But you need to start today. I invite you to come back every single week and learn from the Word of God. Get dug into the Word of God. If you gave your heart to Jesus just now, I want to ask you if you would please comment in the comment stream. Let us know that you received Jesus Christ today. We want to send you a gift that you're really going to love. It's super useful. And in fact, it will tantalize your taste buds probably. While you crack open the Bible that we're going to send you, brand new Bible, we're going to send you one so that you can get started on your Bible reading plan and get plugged in to that process of learning how great and how awesome Jesus is. Please come and join us on Wednesday night for corporate prayer. If you're part of our church and you don't join us, I want to ask you this one question. Why not? The Bible says, my house will be called a house of prayer. If you don't come and join us live, I hope that you'll come and join us by being on replay and that you'll pray with us no matter what. We invite you to join us Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. Hawaii Standard Time to pray, and we're going to have a short time of communion right after that. And then next week, Sunday, again, we're starting our brand new electronic giving platform, and we'll be right back here, same bat time, same bat channel, at 10 a.m. Hawaii Standard Time, the Ark Christian Church coming to you with live worship, praise, giving message and a full message that next week I think is just going to bless you so much and inspire you with hope and with faith to live a life that's full to overflowing with Jesus Christ. I speak the blessing of God over you in Jesus' name. We love you and we'll see you again real soon.